Welcome to Session 6 of A New Can of Worms, a Star Frontiers Actual Play podcast. In this session, the PCs head out to investigate a possible source of the quick deaths, witness a starship crash, and are sent to investigate and help the survivors. All right, you guys ready to start?
Sure.
Sure, and I'll finish stopping after you tell us kind of what we're doing.
Okay, so you guys finished your debriefing, and they sent you home to get some sleep because you guys have been operating a little short on sleep. And they said, you know, come back in the next day, and we'll talk about your next assignment. So is there anything you guys want to do that night before you come in the morning,
Not that I can think of.
And
we're all victors now. It's like, yay, we won. We're tired.
Go to sleep. Okay.
Heck, we captured a whole bunch of Sathar and, you know, oh, they're dead. I was like, I'm going to believe Starlaw when they say they're dead. They're really, you know, reading their minds and stuff, and we don't know it. But.
So you're a conspiracy drollocyte.
Today I am.
All right, so you get up in the morning, and as you're heading into work, into the sterile offices, you notice on radio public announcements that the big story is that there was some sort of a creature attack at the at the zoo, at the terrain, the Point True Zoo. They were supposed to be opening a quick death exhibit, actually. They were supposed to be getting that. That was been in the news recently, but there's something happened. So that's kind of the news items. Apparently, nobody was killed, but there were several injuries, and it looks to be only the staff at the zoo that were impacted. But something obviously happened there. So when you get into the sterile offices, that's actually the topic, and they actually fill you in on what happened. Apparently, there was supposed to be a delivery of a quick death that was going to be on display, and they had everything all set up to receive that, but the shipping container that the quick death was arriving in, when they opened it up, there wasn't a single quick death in there. There were four, and they were smaller ones. And the reason they're even telling you is because it's almost exactly the same kind of size and everything of the ones that you guys fought. And it turns out. Oh, go ahead.
I was just teasing. They didn't order these from Drakana Institute, did they?
No, no. They actually came, and that's again why you guys are so involved. They were ordered. They were being delivered by a bounty hunter, a creature hunter that lives up back in the direction from where you guys were just at.
Is he the guy we met?
No, it wasn't him. But it is the guy who he mentioned lived up there. I don't remember if I gave you guys a name or not for him. But no, it wasn't the guy you met, but it was the guy he said that lives up there. And so they want you to go back out there and go check out this guy's compound and see if he's there. And the zoo's run by Streel. So they want you guys to head back out there. If he's there, they want him brought in for questioning. If not, they just want you to scope out his area, and it's actually marked on the map that that guy Carlos gave you, so you know where it is. And but that's why that in your report, your the name that you guys mentioned that Carlos had given you would match the name of the guy who's supposed to be delivering this. So they would like you guys to go back out to wherever his base of operations is and basically check it out, bring him in if he's there, so they can try to figure out what's going on. Because what happened was they were expecting one large quick death. Four got out. They were able to contain three of them, but one of them kind of got loose and injured a bunch of the staff there. Luckily, no one was killed. So that's the assignment.
Okay. Yes, we head out.
Just question. Do you do recharging of power clips?
I don't.
Okay.
They're one use, just like the rules say.
Okay.
Belt packs and backpacks can recharge, but and pair batteries. So, all right. So, it's the it's the day cycle now. So it'll be daylight while you're driving out there, you'll get there towards dusk.
So it's pretty far out there then.
Yeah, it's a 6-8 hour drive out to where he's at. So because it's probably actually longer than that because it's road part of the way and then it's kind of off road. Dirt trail type stuff. Part of the way as well. So and I am going to assume that your group contains everyone but Zulki. Now, since we haven't heard from him, I'm going to assume his character is no longer in the group. He got reassigned. Is there anything you guys want to do before you leave town?
Nothing I can think of.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I got my shopping done already, though, so.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll assume that happened. Okay. We'll have Rennie give me a roll, D100.
Alrighty.
Let's Since see. You're the scout.
Okay. Hey, I'm not a good scout.
That's all right. All right, so the trip actually passes fairly uneventfully. And you get to... I'm going to bring up a map here in a second. It takes you a while to find the exact... I mean, 'cause it's marked on a map, but that map is, you know, not super high resolution. But as you get out into that area... you start to see tracks from what was probably an explorer or maybe a snowcat, kind of a cross between an explorer and a snowmobile type thing. Occasionally and starts to kind of give you ideas of which way to go and you eventually come to a small compound. It looks like this. All right. So can everybody see the map?
Yeah.
Okay. So this one is looks like a small house. And the grid here is 2 meters, I think. Yeah.
Let's see if I can get this bigger. There we go.
So this larger one here is a small house. This one looks like a garage. And so this area that kind of looks like paths, that's kind of worn down to dirt. And then these other areas like this area here, there's a little bit of vegetation in that area. Hasn't been long. Looks like there's paths here. And then all these other things are cages. And this area down here is enclosed in a fence. So okay. Your characters are all there at the top of the map. So you're coming in. By the time you find it, you're coming in. This is north from the north here. So I really should make the explorer. The explorer is more that size compared to everything else. It looks like this building here that's the garage could just fit your explorer if you opened up the doors and parked it inside it.
So this is all small scale then?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what do you guys want to do? Kind of... I guess I can lead the way, if, knock on the door.
Yeah, and I'll follow close behind and be sure to smile.
So as you drive up, you're just going to park. You can go ahead and move the Explorer to where you want to stop it. You should be able to move it. Let's see. Yep, controlled by all players. So, as you drive into the area, all of the cages are empty.
Well, we should expect that because he was, he's supposed to deliver them. So, what about, does it look like they're closed and empty or like the door is swinging?
The doors are actually swinging, they're just open.
Okay. It might be take out the guns time, guys, but just saying, I'm paranoid. Let's head to the house first, but keep on our guard. Eric?
Okay, well, yeah. I'm just situating myself.
How do I drag the pieces down there?
You should just click on it. Wants to get control, and then hold it down while you move it.
Okay, I should have realized. I'm not in the building there. Let me just.
And you're, yeah, I only see the name for my own guy, right?
Yeah. Maybe I can see everybody's names, but yeah.
Yeah, I can only see the name for mine.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine. All right.
Okay.
There's only one Drolocyte, so.
Really? Is that what the other guy was?
He was a human. Zulky was a human. Yeah, Shuhuzen isn't here. And we'll assume Chichek is driving the Explorer.
Okay.
That's his role for this adventure.
Well, let's... knock on the door, I guess. Or take a look at the house.
Okay. It's dark. There's no lights coming in. Out of it. There's a little light over the doorway, but it's not on.
Has some windows. I assume there's no doorbell or anything.
Nope. There's not a doorbell.
I just go up and give it a knock.
Kind of like a almost a prefab type building. And it's kind of old. So you knock on the door and there's no response at all.
One on each side of the door, and I guess Yuzurian dude in the middle, you get to open it.
Great, thanks. All right, I'll open the door. I guess I'm not going to have my gun drawn, but I would like to put my the hand on the butt of it.
Okay.
Right. We're not exactly bad guys here. We could say hi. Anybody home, right?
Yeah.
We don't think the guy, we don't know that this guy's a bad guy yet. And we just know that his delivery was not as expected.
Well, is it unlocked?
It is unlocked.
What are the?
It doesn't even look like it
has
a lock.
Employees, do we knock knock? This is a police. Let us come in, or do we just start trespassing? I mean, what's the?
What I think I'm just gonna open the door and then hello, you know.
Yeah.
Anybody home?
I don't think we get any jurisdiction out of this game.
Probably not, but a lot of things aren't necessarily illegal in places like this either.
Yeah. So yeah, that's just,
you know, in a colony, it might have just developed where people take care of each other and
walk into somebody else's house. Why? You know, you might walk with your hand next to your holster, but okay.
I think, you know, with all the craziness that's happened on this planet, people would be a little more understanding if you were a little nervous on things. But on the same token, they're going to be nervous too. So,
yep.
I'm just going to
everybody's
announce...
armed and everybody's really polite.
I'm just going to, I'm going to open the door crack and say hello. Anybody there? We're here from Streel to ask you some questions about the shipment.
Okay, so you open the door. It's dark inside. There's no immediate response. Although you do hear something inside. It sounds like movement, but it doesn't sound like large creatures. It sounds like something small is moving around inside.
No, let's not let his pet get out. Does it look like there's power?
You can't tell. It's completely dark. If there is, there's nothing turned on and nothing's drawn.
Is there a power switch next, like when you first enter?
Yeah. If you wanted to flip that, you could try it.
I'll try flipping it.
All right, you flip it and the lights go on. Obviously, there's some batteries somewhere to power those lights because there's no obvious like generator or anything.
Solar or anything like that we saw?
No.
Ooh, cool.
So, and when you flip the lights on, you see immediately what is making the noise. And there are four of those little squirrel creatures running around in the house.
I'm going to close the door and kind of back out real quick.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell the guys the psycho squirrels are inside.
Remind me about these psycho squirrels.
The little squirrels that bit that little girl?
He wasn't here for that session.
Ah. Okay. I think it was a little rabid squirrel thing that attacked one of the children at the last town.
Okay. Well, let's just...
And there.
How'd they get in here? The door's shut. Is there any windows or just
there are windows. But it doesn't look like any of them are open though. Although it's entirely possible that they may have come down up through the floor. Because there is like little gaps between the ground and the building in places.
Okay.
It's not like there's a foundation under this. It's like just kind of built on the ground.
Did these critters take note of other people and go towards them, or are they like other small creatures and run away when something big shows up?
Well, they perked up and looked at the door when the light came on, and if Shane hadn't closed it, maybe they would have come at you.
Well, if we're going to go back in there, I think we should look around for like a little portable cage or something, or you know, he's got to have equipment like that around here, so maybe we should think of it, because I don't feel like getting bitten by a rabid squirrel today. So.
Yeah, we're not here
to kill
squirrels, though, so let's kind of...
Nope, that squirrel thing that bit that child sent him to the hospital.
Right.
These things are dangerous.
Well, I'm not sure that I just want to risk anything like that. I mean, we could toss a doze grenade in on them, and hopefully that does something, but not exactly... planning on that right now.
I'm sorry. you're looking at this all wrong. You go in there, the squirrels bite you, you spend a week in the hospital with pay, unscheduled.
Well, you are perfectly capable of going in there. I'm going to head instead to the garage.
Yeah, I go in there, I go to the hospital. Okay, I'll just listen to the rest of you guys and play solitaire for the rest of the night.
Well, doesn't this colony have a decent television station?
No, it's like Canada.
Oh! I don't know, the Red Green Show is pretty good.
All right, so you did get a quick glimpse of the room. It looks like the building is divided into two rooms. And the room you saw was like a little living room area with a kitchen. There was a couple chairs, a table, like sofa chairs and a coffee table, and then there's like a small dining table and chairs at it and a small cooking area.
This guy could have got bit, and he's in there laying on the floor dying on us.
I know, but I still would like to get something.
What's over in this? Is this a shed over here to the just to the south of us?
It's a garage.
No, that's a garage.
So, yes.
That's what I was thinking. The equipment would be in there. Animal handling equipment, like the, what do you call those poles with the little loop on them?
I don't know what you call them, but so you guys want to go down over to that?
Yeah, I'm going to look for some equipment like that.
Did somebody say dose grenade? If someone has one, I will throw it in there. I'm not afraid of going in there.
That's kind of my thing. It's like anything that goes boom is stuff I like. So
you do that. I'm going to head over to the.
Yeah, but I only got two right now. So let's see if there's something in there that we could use, because last time we tossed a dose grenade in with a bunch of creatures in a large space, not all of them went out.
Yes.
And these things are small. They can hide in corners.
Well, I mean, it's basically a bug bomb.
That's a long wait to see if it... I'm not sure we'll get them all out with one dose grenade, and I've just got two.
All right, I'm going to head and see if there's any equipment in there.
All right, so you go in, and there's a little side door that you can open, or there's the big, like, garage-style door that can be opened as well.
I'm going to try for the little side door.
Okay. You go in the little side door, which is on the north end of the building, and you open it up, and it's dark in there as well, but there's a switch right by the door, and you flip it, and the lights come on. And most of the area is clear, like there was a vehicle that had been parked there, but it's gone now. But along the edges of the building, there are shelves, and you do find small cages, and there are some of those little sticks with the strings on that you were talking about. There's a couple of those in there. There's various tools. Looks like probably the equivalent of a tech kit in there, kind of scattered about. Just kind of the stuff you typically would find in a garage.
Angel's back!
Angel's here!
I'm here!
Hey!
How are you doing?
I'm all right. Just had to get out of that hospital, and then I had to get something to eat because I was starving.
I'll bet.
So we could say it was a short stint at the hospital?
Oh, we're punning.
Oh. You're the Yazarian. You're not supposed to be doing that. That's Eric's job.
Oh, hey, you know, they are the smartest guys, you know.
Yeah, I know.
It's just they don't like Dralazite humor. They got their own. Until a Dralazite repeats the joke, and then it's stupid.
Yes.
Spatial discrimination is what it is.
Well, anybody, you know, walking Play-Doh, what do you do with them? I mean,
I always think that the best Yazarian joke is, what do the five fingers say to the face? That seems to be their kind of humor.
Yeah, but they're not just Klingons, they're smart Klingons. So we'll brief you a little bit on where we're at. We went out with this explorer, with our explorer, to check out this guy who was supposed to deliver
one.
He was supposed to deliver one quick death, and we got four.
To it, right. A zoo.
Yeah.
For a quick death exhibit.
But we don't know where this guy's at. We're at his, out at his homestead, I guess you could call it.
And it seems abandoned. And when we opened the door to his house, there were psycho squirrels.
Psycho.
Oh, more of those guys?
Yeah.
So what we're contemplating is, let's see.
We're looking through his garage.
Rennie's going to get some traps and I don't know, dog catcher equipment here.
Yes.
To catch these things. And I'm about to propose that before we do that, we toss a doze grenade in, knock out as many as we can, and then you're only attacking one or two left. Or trapping one or two left.
Okay, that sounds like a sound idea.
He saw four in the building when he opened the door and turned the light on, and then he shut the door really fast.
See, well, I don't like how he said right, that. He saw four.
We rattle the door, we drop the doze grenade right in the crack, and then they're right there to get the whole blast of it. When this kid went to the hospital, what did they treat her with?
Detox. It was a poison.
So if I just blast whoever gets hurt with a little antitox, maybe we'll be fine.
Are there does he have a set of really thick gloves here?
Yeah, there's gloves, there are actual like closed jaw traps, there's all kinds of stuff in there.
I'm gonna suit up with the gloves, I'm gonna grab one of those things, the poles with the little loops on them. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna head back. I think I'm gonna crack open the door a little bit.
Can these things jump high?
You haven't seen them do that. So they're a variation on a native creature here on Pale. In fact, they look almost exactly like the native one. They just they have a lighter stripe of fur down their spinal column.
So why don't we do this? If we could block the bottom edge of the door, I'll stretch up high and drop it through the top.
Okay.
That way, they can all bunch up against the door. I drop it down. It goes off. We slam the door shut. So stack the cages up or something right there, and they can – maybe they'll run into the cages, and we're lucky, and I don't have to drop the
– Yeah, let's try the cage thing first before we do the
– Just don't stick your fingers in the cage while you're holding them up there.
Okay.
Says all the right. Guy who doesn't have to have fingers. I could have mitts if I needed to.
Why am I doing this?
Because you're the environmentalist.
I'm stretching high to drop it down the top.
All right,
I'll do it.
I'll open the door.
Hey, we need to drag your character down there, Angel, from the top.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. No thanks.
All right, I'm gonna get two cages and stack them up on top of each other, so hopefully they're pretty high and right up to the door. And then I'm just going to open it a crack.
All right.
Here, kitty, 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 kitty.
So, are they...
All right, so you open the door.
Humor's never approved of.
And you hear some chittering as the door opens. And... you see the four creatures, they start to run towards the door. And they start to run, then they stop just short of the door, though. Although they're right there, so you can drop the grenade if you want. They don't run into the cage.
Well, if they're clustered right there, I would say drop the grenade.
Sure. Go.
I'm going to jump back.
Okay, yeah. You gotta shut the door, guys, or we're gonna get a mouthful of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
One, two, three, drop.
All right.
And door shut behind it.
Yep. Let's see what happens. All right. Uh, And there are only four. You don't have to worry about more hiding. Okay, so the grenade goes off. I'm not going to make a roll for that, but I did make their stamina rolls, so well, you'll have to open the door to see what happened.
Yeah, to find out. Okay,
put the cages back up there and get ready.
The cages would still be there. I'm going to, yeah.
Yeah, well, we'd hold them still so they don't get a little
bounce. And push them into the opening where the door would be, because the door opens inward. So. Yeah.
I'm just saying, if we hold on to the cages...
Yeah, they won't fall over.
Yeah.
But if we hold on to them, our fingers will be...
Don't they have handles?
Yeah, they have handles. You can
and just hold it like a mitt.
You can hold the cages so that your fingers aren't inside the cages. Because they're more solid than open. You know, think like a dog carrier type thing.
What you're
looking at. They're more solid with slits in them than a wire mesh cage.
Okay.
So, I mean, this guy does deal with dangerous creatures, so...
That's a good point.
All right, so you open the door, and you see two of them are just laying flat there on the ground. Looks like they're passed out.
Hello?
From the dose grenade. The other two, you don't see.
So they skittered off.
Yeah, they seem to have skittered off from the doorway.
I've got my pole ready, and I'm just going to kind of open the door a little more and look in to see if
hopefully they went over somewhere and fell over and went to sleep.
Is there light inside?
Yeah, they turned the light on when they opened the door the first time. So there's light inside. So the building's basically divided in half, and you're looking into the left half, and it looks like a combination living room, kitchen, and dining room area. And then there are two doors. Well, you can only see one from the way you open the door. But
we all go in. We shut the door so they don't get out.
Okay. So
what? Yes, no? You don't like
all that? All go in, or is it just me going in and you're shutting the door on me?
How many cages do we have?
I'll go in with you.
Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah, if Rusk is a little stronger about not getting bit.
Yeah, I don't know.
Despite all that hard chitin.
Look.
Yeah, well, that didn't help very much against those evil chickens.
Jill and I are going to go in. You guys, you know, grab those two and put them in the cage, the ones that fell down. And we're going to go in and get these other two.
All right, so I grabbed those two. I can deal with that.
I'm going in. I've got my pole ready.
So you go in, and you hear the other two over in the kitchen area. So there's like a little counter there, and they sound like they're behind it.
That's just like gremlins.
That's what I was going to say. Put one in the microwave.
There is a microwave. It's up on the counter.
I'm going to get a glass of water.
I'm gonna go in. What do I see there?
All right, so you go in, and in the room there's like two type recliner type chairs by like a coffee table that's like right by the entrance, and then kind of off to the leftmost side of the building, and then towards the right side there is actually that's the front. In the back there's like a counter. And beyond that, you can see, like, a stove and a fridge and a microwave. And there's, it's like, a bar height counter with some stools by it.
I'm going to motion to Jill to
grab
some of
the... They seem to be on the other side of that counter.
I'm going to motion to Jill to grab some of the cushions from that chair.
I will do so.
And then I'm going to go in two hands on the pole and kind of work my way into the kitchen.
All right, so as you walk around the counter to the kitchen, you see the two little critters there on the ground, and they charge towards you. So you get the chance to make a dex roll to try to snag one of them with your thing.
All right.
What's your dex?
I did improve my dex. I point that
but out. I don't think it's 64 yet.
Sorry, dude.
All right, that one, it's, you reach for it, with the thing to try to grab, and it just dodges out of the way. All right. And
is there more of these stuff in the shed for catching and things like that?
Yeah, there's a couple, two or three of them in there. You know, it looks like he's got, you know, he takes one and he might have a couple extras that he takes with them.
Yeah.
Actually, would that be a melee weapon?
Yes.
Just bash it, huh?
Oh no, I still missed it by six. Yeah. Never mind.
Okay. So the one you're trying to grab, you know, is busy dodging you, but the other one gets up and it bites you. So
okay,
I want you to make a stamina roll.
Guess what?
That's not bad.
Alright, so you only take 10 points of damage.
My
your suit takes 2 points of damage, you take 1 point from the bite, and then you take 10 points from the poison in the bite.
Yeah. Okay.
They're not running near the door where I'm scooping up the two unconscious ones, are they?
No, they've gone past that.
Okay.
So you're right at the door. He's basically right here in the building.
All right, good. I'm just
and you're right at the door there. There we go. I can do your damage. So you're down to 29.
At least I did my stamina check.
Yeah.
I know. Thank goodness.
All right, Jill, what are you doing?
Well, I've got the sofa cushion, and I got my shock gloves. I'm ready for action.
Okay.
It shot past Rennie. Does the coat come anywhere near me?
No, so the one is dodging his little stick on the end, so it's actually still back in the kitchen area. And the other one dashed past the end of his stick and kind of, you know, went after his leg.
All right. So I will grab that one and hopefully shock it.
You do.
Nice.
Roll damage. Oh, you're just doing shock. Never mind. Collapses in your hands. What?
Don't shock them too much. They might go pop.
Yeah, you grab it and your shock gloves discharge and it just collapses in your hands. It is completely limp.
All right.
Start in the cage.
Yes.
All right. Let's, Rennie, roll initiative.
Sure, I should be rolling it.
Well, you're the one directly involved in
the... I got a six.
All right, you timed him.
It goes first.
Ah,
that's
fudge.
What I was about to say.
So, let's see. Alright, it runs up and it's going to try to bite you too. Well, it successfully bites you.
Okay, time to get up to medkit.
And you take 2 more points of damage, and it does 2 more to your
suit.
So I'll do yours.
What I'm buying.
And you're feeling the toxins from that poison just coursing through your system. It's really fast acting.
I am not going to try to catch this thing. I am going to use that thing like a bat.
Screw that. We got 3s enough. Go for it.
Can't roll. Yeah, you miss.
This poor guy's kitchen.
The glassware on the counter goes flying.
Okay, can I see just from the stuff that he's starting to.
Yeah, you can tell that he's not in a good way.
Oh, you can probably hear the crashing of the dishes.
Some medicine
would,
out.
Yeah, it would be anti-tox. You would have had it ready, yeah. So.
Okay. Let me go stab him in the butt.
You need to make a roll, though, because he's trying to fight this thing, and you're trying to get to him while he's weaving and dodging.
Boom.
And you do.
Nice.
I'm going to shout some things in as loud a voice as I can that shouldn't be said in public.
Well, it's a spray hypo, so what there's no needle involved.
Stab you in the tongue.
Yeah, but I imagine he's punching me with it.
Yeah. He pokes you with it, smashes it into your arm, and injects it. Oh. Which is probably why you missed. You were distracted.
There you go.
All right, and so Joe was putting the other one in the cage this round, and Checheka was picking up the second one. So the three you've got now are in cages.
Good.
The three that got knocked out. You just have this little one running loose. All right, so roll initiative again. And now this time we'll add Checheka's initiative modifier, which is 7, to you guys' roll.
Yay.
All right, and you guys get initiative this round.
I'm gonna punt that thing.
Okay.
They seem to be doing fine, so I go grab the one that
34. That's not a bad roll.
Oh, that's a hit.
It's a good roll.
Okay, I'll put the Tangler grenade back because I think we might have just squished him.
Good.
Were you just whacking it with the thing you had in your hand?
Yeah, at this point, I wasn't going to try to...
Okay, roll a d10.
I mean...
Whoa, that's a lot of damage.
Swing, bada.
I'm thinking about...
Oh!
Dang, damn it.
I'm thinking about how my character
took his arm off.
What's your punching score?
What is my
punching? I don't have your character sheet up, so...
I'm looking here. Yep. Punching score is 2.
All right, so you did that much damage. So you did 4 points of damage to it.
So 4.
You knocked it across the room.
Does it get up?
Yes, it's still running.
Okay, I'll tap this tangle grenade at it.
Okay. All right.
Well, it's weakened now.
What's the Azarian equivalent of come at me, bro?
All right.
I'll do it if you guys chuck a tangle grenade.
What is Jill and Checheka want to do?
Well, I wanted to try to grab it while it was stunned coming off the wall.
Well, Jill and Rennie seem to be having a battle with this thing. So I'm going to go grab the other one that's caged.
Are they in the way if I do throw a tangle grenade?
If you miss, you might get them.
Yeah, okay, I'll refrain. I'm a clown, but I'm not that flexible.
But the hell right.
I'm just getting the other one that's in the cage, and I'm
all right.
Beating them out the door. I'm not there in battle. Go ahead.
All right, so Jill, you grab it. It manages. It tries to dodge away, but it doesn't. You get a hold of it. And your gloves go off. And it zaps it, but it's still squirming in your hands.
Squeeze!
Oh, feisty little one.
So
we'll soon learn some respect.
Roll initiative.
And while we're doing that, I'm going to shout to...
You got this. All right,
you've got the initiative.
I'm gonna
you guys both killed it on this.
And this one does not want to go down. So, your gloves go off again, and it's still squirming in your arms. If you want, you can apply your punching score and damage in addition to stunning it, but that's up to you.
Yeah, why not? Just grabbing it, punching it with my other hand.
What is your punching score?
I'm gonna shout.
Is it 1 or 2?
1. Yeah. It's 1.
I'm gonna shout, pitch it. It's up to you.
Yeah, do I have enough action to pitch it to him?
You can do it on the next round if you want.
Yeah.
All right.
But he did add his punching damage, he said.
Yeah, I recorded that. So she's like squeezing it, trying to knock it out, and her gloves go off, and it's still squirming, and her gloves go off, and it's still squirming. She just throws it at Rennie. So roll, Rennie.
Make it happen, Rennie.
And he knocks it out of the park. Roll a d10. Okay, it plunks on the floor anyway.
It is just a squirrel.
It just catches it. Yeah, but it's a little tough little squirrel. Alright, so...
I think we saw a movie about this. A rat would cook and all that stuff, and then all of a sudden all the cooks started throwing knives and stuff.
No. You're thinking about another... the movie I'm thinking about is...
He just
kept coming back, and at one point he leaned in and said to the guy, "I'll be back."
All right.
Why did you just roll again, Tom?
Because Rennie smacks it with the thing, and it just kind of it catches the edge of it. He doesn't get a good solid hit, but the thing goes flying to the ground and just lays there. It's still breathing, but it seems to be passed out.
Okay, throw it in the cage.
Cage.
Okay. I will pick it up.
Anybody else I need to anti-tox?
No. Shane's the only one that got it.
Anybody need a Band-Aid?
Shane could definitely use first aid.
I could use a Band-Aid.
Although I could use a comb. I think a couple of my hairs went out of place.
All right.
Okay.
So if you are going to give him are you going to do first aid?
Yeah,
so we got
whoever's.
I'm leaning against the fridge and I'm going to open it while he's doing that.
All right, it's just Shane, and so you're up to 27. Back up to 27 HP.
You're going to find the freezing one that's sitting there in the fridge.
No, so you open up the fridge, and there's a couple bottles, a little bit of food, but it's pretty empty actually.
Well, this guy owes me a beer.
Well, there's one in there if you want one.
I'm taking it.
Okay. And I take it I used up one stim dose here.
You have one BioCort.
One BioCort?
Yep, and one anti-tox.
Yeah, I already got the anti-tox.
Yeah, so one BioCort for the first aid.
Okay.
So I see anything around the house?
So there's two doors. Both of them are slightly open, and now that you're not focused on little squirrels, one of them's a bathroom, shower, and there's like the hot water heaters right there in the bathroom, and then the other one is a bedroom with a small computer on it, on a desk.
I'm gonna look around on the floor. I'm looking for droppings. I want to get an idea how long these creatures have been in the house.
They've probably been in there for a couple days.
Okay.
Because, yeah, you definitely find some. You know, and like, the cupboards are kind of... There's some stuff on the floor, it looks like. You don't know what it was. Maybe it was bread or something. But they got into stuff in the cupboards a little bit. There's some canned goods in the cupboards as well, which they obviously... The squirrel things couldn't get into. But anything that was, like, a box or cardboard or plastic... soft plastic. They pretty much demolished it.
Well, since Jill and Motan pretty much saved me here, I'd feel bad about yelling at them to go check the other room instead of me. So I'll ask Tacheka. Why don't you go check the other room?
Okay. So I put the two cages down. We got two in each cage, right?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, two in each cage. I put them down. I guess near the doorway, because that's where I was.
Yeah.
And I'll check the other room.
Okay, so you go in there. There is a freestanding closet. And there's a bed. It's like a twin-size bed. There's a desk with a chair. Sitting on the desk is a computer. It has a couple drawers in it.
And Mr. Body.
No, it's empty.
Okay, there's nobody. Okay.
Nobody.
That would have freaked me out.
Candlestick in the lounge.
So is there anything on the computer? When you first turn the computer on, what comes up?
It looks like there's a, you know, it's asking for a username and password.
Oh, I wouldn't know that.
So.
And anything look out of place, or everything just looks fine?
Yeah, everything looks fine. It's like whoever lived here left and just hasn't come back yet.
For days?
I mean, they do hunt animals.
And the rest of these things around the compound are cages, big cages.
Yeah.
What's those things on the side? Okay.
Yeah, like they would, those four big ones could easily hold a quick death in them. Or the chicken things. The smaller ones could hold the little chicken creatures, just of things you've seen. You could probably put a slither if he had managed to catch a slither, because there are some of those on the planet in that very biggest one.
So the thing on the area on the south end, it's got like two little cages and then
it's something enclosed with like a 3 foot tall fence.
Oh, that's an enclosed area.
Yeah.
But we can
with
see
a roof or no?
No, not with a roof.
Oh, okay. So we could see inside. So it's just an enclosed area. Okay. Yep.
Hey, Tom?
Yeah?
Could you give a, just because Angel wasn't here, just a really quick, the same little rundown of the thing? The compound for him?
Oh.
So
yeah, the building here where is the house. This is like a garage that would hold something about the size of your Explorer, and then there's a lot of equipment in there. And then this is just worn path, this stuff here, this area.
Right.
Whereas these areas are, there's little bits of vegetation still growing. So it's just kind of like, it's been walked on back and forth between the cages and the house, and its paths have been worn into the dirt. And then these are all cages. These three here at the bottom are, you know, the scale here is a square is 2 meters. So,
okay.
That gives you an idea. So these are actually large, and then these ones over here are really big. Yeah. So these three here, you could easily put a full-size quick death or a couple of the smaller ones in. This one can hold really big creatures.
Nothing we've seen yet, though.
No, they're all empty. In fact, they're empty and their doors are open. Like, not latched shut in most cases.
Okay.
Can I go over and look at the cages, look at, like, if they just weren't locked or something busted through?
Yeah. It looks like they were just loose. They weren't locked. Doesn't look like anything's been done to damage them. You could easily go up and latch them closed if you wanted to. They just were left open.
Okay.
I want to check the garage. That's my area of expertise.
Yeah.
What would be in there? Is there anything of use in there?
Well, that's where the little cages came from and the little tool. Okay. So what's in there is there's about, you know, there's tools scattered about, probably a tech kit. Most of the central area is empty. Like, there was a vehicle there, but it's not there right now. So it's not like it's all filled with stuff. There actually looks like he kept a vehicle in it. And then there are just traps and cages and work gloves and just stuff that someone who works with animals might have in storage.
Is there a trank gun in here?
There's no weapons. There is feed of types, various things like you could give to animals and things like that if you had them in your cages. That's where that's stored. So that's what's in the garage.
And nothing looks like really old. It's fairly
well.
Used.
Some of it looks really old, but it doesn't look like it's like not unused. Usable. Yeah, okay. No. It looks like everything is. This looks like the tools of the trade for someone who hunts and traps animals. And you know, some of the stuff is older. Nothing's really super new, but none of it is like broken and junk laying around.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's all functional.
Can I check around the cages to see if there looks like maybe there were animal tracks, like the animals got
loose? Go ahead and make a roll. All right. Yeah, that is good enough for both your environmental and your survival. So you see what you recognize now would be the tracks of the little squirrel creatures. and they're just all over the place. There are some trees. I didn't draw them in. There's kind of trees around the outside of the compound, of one or two here and there. You see out of the large cages, there are definite signs of quick death. Paw prints. And it looks like a couple just, or more, just ran loose from the cage. It's not like they were loaded or something. They just, like, they leave the cage and go off away from the compound where you're at. You also recognize, because you've seen them before, the tracks of the Nux, the Cyber Nux. And those are more, there's actually, this area is full of them, and they appear to have, you know, come out of these cages here, the two that are attached to that area. You say probably, he probably had some, and they probably were running around in that enclosed area.
Yeah, I was figuring that, but I was trying to figure out if somebody just released the quick deaths and...
It looks like some were, yes. There were some that were just released, and they just ran off. And there are boot prints around as well, but I mean, there's so many prints that it's kind of hard to tell.
What was the guy's name, Carlos?
That was the one you guys met, yeah.
He was tracking four of them, right?
Yep. He was tracking them before they attacked the village.
Well, there's four cages here.
Vehicle's not here, so he's out possibly collecting up his missing stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder if two guys just didn't get along, or, you know, hey, you took my guys, or I came around here and let your stuff loose, and now... Huh.
That seems kind of petty. Which way do the quick death tracks look like they're heading?
From where you're at, south. So they go... I'll draw here on the map. Hold on just a second.
What do we know?
So they look like... they look like they went that way. Gotcha. And to the south. So you are... So from where you guys are at, the... Sathar Cave mine is that direction.
How far that direction?
About 30 or 40 kilometers. Huh. The village is off that direction. And Point True is off that way.
And he was only supposed to deliver one more.
Yeah, he was supposed to deliver a quick death to the zoo. And four arrived in the cage.
What about vehicle tracks from the garage? Do we see them heading off anywhere?
They mostly go up along this road up here where you came in.
Mm-hmm.
And then off into the mountains. And so there are some that curve around. Oops. You know, down this direction.
And that's the Point True.
Yeah, that's towards Point True.
But we came in from the north.
Well, because you guys didn't know exactly where this was. You just happened to go past it and then find it on your way back, kind of thing. Basically, you discovered tracks, vehicle tracks. You crossed them several times out there. So he obviously drives out, you know, cross country from here. But, off
I'm
north,
just trying to think, like, if the
north is off into the mountains. South. What?
If the quick death tracks went to the south, I was trying to see if it looked like a vehicle went after.
No. There's no indication that anything followed them, at least not that direction. If you go out, if you follow them for a while away from the compound and nothing catches back up with them.
What do you guys think?
Anywhere that you find vehicle tracks and animal tracks, the animal tracks are always on top.
This stuff, these.
So the vehicle came after the animal. I mean, after animal came after the vehicle.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So this guy's not been home to see that all his animals got away.
Got out. Or somebody let him out. Because the cages don't look broken, right?
Right. The cages are not broken.
Whoever let him out, how did he get here and get away? It's a long walk.
I know it's going to be hard to smell here, but do we smell anything decomposing?
Not really, no.
Because we haven't found this guy's body.
That's a good point.
Well, they're not in the house, because we checked the entire house.
Can I do like a quick search of the cages?
Yeah, what are you looking for?
Blood or anything like that.
Well, you find some, but it's old, and it's probably not...
Human,
or whatever. It's not like a body piece, parts of a body, or maybe they were given fresh meat at some point, kind of thing. Yeah, and that's what it looks like to you.
In the garage with the supplies. I'm sorry, real quick. Was there any more antitoxins against cycle squirrel blood or anything like that?
No, there wasn't any sort of a medical kit in there.
No, damn. I was hoping we could take some extra.
I would like to walk around the outer area of the compound, and in particular, the vegetation-covered areas. Look for disturbed earth or disturbed plant life, some place where a body might be buried, or pieces of one might be buried.
Okay. Go ahead and make a roll for me.
While he's looking for that, I'm also going to look to see if there's any cameras around.
There are no cameras. All right. So you don't find anything, Jill. There's nothing obvious. That doesn't look like there's anything disturbed. Where you do see vegetation. This is fall, and you're kind of in the edge of the mountain, so it's kind of scrubby at this point anyways. But there's nothing that looks like anything was disturbed that you can find.
I guess I'm going to maybe try to head back into the house and see if there's anything in the living room just lying around, maps or notes or anything.
Okay, so... There is a map on the table.
Is there a like a phone or anything around here that I can pick up?
There's actually a radio phone.
We see where the last call was, when the last call was.
You can pick it up and look at it. There are some numbers that are, no idea what they are. Other ones, a couple of them you recognize because they're Streel numbers.
What about times? How long ago was this
used? The last one was about 3 days ago. And the last three or four are numbers that you don't recognize. In fact, they're just frequencies. They're not like a phone number type phone number. They're just contacting another radio phone type of contact.
And you have no idea. Is one of them Carlos?
No, none of them are Carlos.
Okay.
Does any of the desk drawers have like a journal or any piece of paper? Because sometimes people write down the username close to the computer, so that way I could go into the computer. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but there isn't. Sorry, none of that. But there are some books in the drawers. Pamphlet, a notebook.
Placed by the Gideon.
Yeah, a Bible. No. And one of the things you find is kind of like a ledger. Almost, and you see the record for the delivery to Point True, and there's also the record for deliveries off planet. Like one for Triad, there's one for Gran Quivera, there's even one for Clarion.
Yeah.
On there listed. And they look, and the dates are such that the one for Prenglar may have arrived, but the other ones would still be in transit if they had shipped what was there. And they're various creatures, usually of Sathar origin.
And he's shipping them out.
Mm-hmm.
So that means the ship has to land somewhere around here to pick up the animals. Is there like a landing pad?
Or he has to drive them somewhere.
What did that map have on it?
Oh, it was very much like the one Carlo showed you guys. It was maps of the area and records of where he had caught things, and things like that.
Okay. Well, seems like we got a mystery here, this guy. We haven't found much information. What do you guys suggest? No cameras.
Does he have a pen? I know, I find that strange with an animal pen area to have no cameras. Does he have on the map anywhere circled like pickup area or drop off area or anything like that?
No, there's nothing identified like that on the map.
How about taped underneath the desk drawers?
Looking for the password.
No.
Has anyone tried password?
I was thinking about that, but what's the username?
So,
which keys on the keyboard are clean and which ones are dirty?
Dirty, yeah, no doubt.
This guy deals with animals. I'm betting they're all gonna be dirty.
Yeah, but see, the ones that he touches a lot will be clean because they'll have had the dirt rubbed off them. It's on.
Yeah, it was asking for the username and password. Yeah.
So as you're going through his desk drawers.
Yeah.
At the bottom, but underneath the first one that had like the ledger information in it, there's another notebook, and it starts talking about where he captured things, and you see things like, you know, what kind of, you know, there's like a page on the quick deaths, and there's notes about. You know, what kind of food to feed them, and you know what their preferences are, and there's all kinds of creatures listed there. He's got probably a dozen or more creatures listed, including the Nooks, the little squirrel guys, the quick deaths. There's an entry on Slithers, but there's not that much information there. But then there's a lot of native pale creatures as well. More of the larger ones. And that's what's at the front of the book. And as you get towards the back of the book, as you keep thumbing through the pages, you realize it takes a minute, but you realize that there are notes on like care and breeding and nurturing these creatures as it goes on. And it looks... As you look at it, it looks like he was experimenting with or maybe successfully actually raising some of these creatures.
Oh, okay. Do you have a zoologist in the house?
Closer to you guys, Rennie, who has environmental and survival skills, I think.
All right, what do you need me to check?
I went to the zoo once.
Here you go, Rennie. This is for you then, because if there's not schematics or... currency, I don't know nothing about this stuff, nor does it hold my interest.
Let me take a look at it, see if I can find anything interesting. I'll make a roll.
Yeah, make a roll.
You sure this isn't a schematic?
So yeah, you don't glean anything more than what I just told you.
I'll let you hold on to this in case.
But I mean, you just get the impression that he was doing more than just catching the animals.
Yeah, he was trying to breed some new kind of creatures to, but he was selling creatures off world. So yeah. Who knows what the heck he was doing?
You breed them, then you just turn one in every now and then, and that's a catch.
Yeah,
but I wonder if he was trying to crossbreed. Create a new creature altogether. Is that illegal?
Well, we got those weird probably that
psychonooks
seem to be a local creature that's gone rabid.
I'm going to save this for Starlaw. Let them deal with this kind of situation. But we got to find the guy.
Yeah, there's no indication of where he could be here.
Yeah, I mean,
I think we should go outside, get a stick that's shaped like a Y, and just start walking around.
Let's douse the guy. I don't know. Let me think. Okay, the stuff in the garage, most of that tools and parts were for an explorer or any other kind of weapon, vehicle?
Looking at it, it could be an explorer, but more likely what it is it's a vehicle that is kind of more native here on Pale than anywhere else. And it's kind of a cross between an explorer and a snowmobile. So it's large, but it has wheels. It's tracked partially. And the front can be either wheels or skids. And the skids are actually there in the garage.
It's called a half track.
Yeah, it's a half track.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's half track. But it's probably got its wheels on it now because there's no snow outside.
Right.
But you know that another month or so, this area is going to be under snow because you're up in the foothills of the mountains. And so, you know, eventually he will need the skids on him to be able to get around.
We've got this guy's phone number. They've tried to call him, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's check the last number, call him up, or see what the
timing
is.
Let's just call him from his home phone. I mean, that usually gets some attention, calling from your home phone.
Yeah.
Well, the number you have is the phone that's on the desk. It's not a Chronicom number. It's a radio phone number, and it's the one sitting there on the desk.
Well, can we check his phone and see what the last number he called, you said, was a Strio number?
No, the last couple numbers that he called or called him, are not.
They're just frequencies.
They're just basically frequencies. They were another radio phone.
So we should be able to tune to those frequencies and just listen, though.
Yeah, that we should be able to do.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah,
let's
go in there and listen and see what we hear.
All right. So
when was the frequency last used? Actually,
just 3 days ago.
3 days. Okay. That deal. That's about the time that these animals have been in there, probably.
Yeah, probably. The squirrel things probably haven't been in there much longer than that, if even that long. And that kind of meshes too with what you were able to glean from the animal cages. They are the most recent prints, at least of the larger animals, are probably that old as well.
Maybe. All right, so he made a call to somebody, and they told him to make a delivery, and he... Or, no, wait.
No, the delivery has been arranged for a while. There are some numbers from about 4 or 5 days ago to the Streel. The numbers you recognized as Streel numbers, so they could be headquarters, they could be the zoo, because the zoo's run by Streel. Half the things on the planet are run by Streel, but they're numbers you recognize as in civilization, and that's probably when he said he'd be delivering the quick deaths, or when that was finalized.
So basically, there's death. Like 12 area codes for Point True, and then one area code for the rest of the planet.
Yeah. Well, at this point, there's probably a little more than that, but yeah.
Okay. So I was trying to figure out.
Yeah, so some of them are actual numbers that you recognize. Other ones are just, they're just what would be unique numbers. Like somebody has a radio phone, they code in a number to it, and then you can call it kind of thing.
Well, let's call the numbers.
No, but like, I think Jill was saying, can we just put the radio on that frequency and listen in?
Yeah.
Without actually making a call?
You could do that.
Is this like CB stuff that, I mean,
kind of, it's kind of a cross between that and an actual like phone system.
Then Angel should be the one handling it.
Yeah, Angel should be the one handling it with his technician skill.
Yeah, technical stuff. That's my stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely what this falls under. Go ahead and make a roll, Angel.
Channel Smokey and the Bandit.
I was thinking the same thing, actually. Okay, it's roll slash D100,
yeah,
right?
Slash R. No, it's slash R or slash roll space and then D100.
Okay, slash. Oh, God, it's starting again! Well, now you see smoke coming out of the freezer, the radio.
The antenna breaks off.
Oh, wait! Water doesn't make it run?
Yeah, you don't get anything. In fact, it stops working.
Damn it! Sorry, guys. I'm just hearing some stuff from this Buford T. Justice guy. I don't know who he is.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
No. Hot pursuit.
Well. Yeah, it actually like shuts down.
Oh, man. Dice be hating me.
Well, maybe we should radio in Streel. See if this thing, just tell them what we found so far.
So Strew was supposed to get one quick death, but they ended up getting four?
Yeah, so they were supposed to get one full-size one delivered to the zoo. They set up a special containment center and enclosure area, and they were going to have a quick death exhibit at the zoo. And they had contracted with this guy who catches quick deaths, and you know he's a hunter like the guy you guys ran into. In fact, this is the guy that the guy you ran into last time knows. He told you he has a place up here. This is that guy. And okay. He was supposed to deliver a quick death to the zoo. Well, they got the container that was supposed to have a quick death in it, and it had four of the small ones in it. And so they weren't expecting four. Kind of caught them off guard. They subdued three of them. The fourth one managed to get free and injured several of the workers. No one was killed, but they were injured. And luckily, it was not while the zoo was open, so there were no public there. It was just staff.
So it wasn't Jurassic Park.
No, it wasn't Jurassic Park or Jurassic World. So Strill sent you guys out to, you know, come talk to the guy, bring him into town if he was there. And he's obviously not here.
Okay, so what if someone just assists place? All right, and he says he goes off for a while. It's the same guy that we met before?
No, this is a different guy.
Could we maybe call up the guy that we met before, see if he's seen him?
That's what I was going to ask.
You could try. And
we have his frequency.
Yeah, you guys have his contact information. So, yeah, you guys can call him with your radio phone. Don't use it.
Let me give it a try, Angel.
Yeah, nah. You want me to give it a shot?
No, I can get this one.
All right, good. You got his number.
All right.
Yeah,
so you dial him up, and it rings for a bit, but he picks up, and, you know, this is Carlos. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Rennie. We met a few days ago out in the bush.
Oh, yeah, Rennie. How are you guys? Did you ever get up to visit, I can't think of this guy's name. It's Alex. It's Alex something. Anyway, did you ever get up to visit Alex?
Yeah, we're at his place right now.
Oh, how's he doing?
We were hoping you knew where he was.
No, I haven't talked to him. I haven't seen him in a while. I didn't go back up there when we were out there. I headed back into town for a bit. But what do you mean? He's not there. He's probably out hunting then.
Yeah, but all of his pens have been emptied, and there were some of these psycho squirrels in his house running amok.
Pens? Psycho squirrels? What are you talking about? I mean, he's got a little house and a garage there by it, but. Last time I was up there, now granted it's been years, because I've been off on the other part of Pale, but that sounds like a bigger deal than last time I was up there.
See, you never saw him say something or heard him say something about, like, you know, it'd be kind of neat to breed these things.
Oh, we've talked about it over the years, but it's just, that's too crazy, plus it's illegal.
Yeah.
What?
So you're saying he's got, like, breeding pens and stuff up there now?
It's a possibility, but there's nothing here now. It looks like all the animals have escaped, and he's nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard from him. I mean, I haven't talked to him in a couple years.
Does he travel with the radio for him?
Sometimes.
Do you have that?
But he tends to be out... he gives you a number. That's the last one I had for him. Like I said, he really hasn't contacted him in a while, so I assume that's the same one he still uses. But sometimes he doesn't. I mean, sometimes he just likes to go off and be off the grid. That's kind of partially why we do what we do. So anything's possible.
Well, if you do see him, tell him we're looking for him, and we got some squirrels out of his house. Unfortunately, they busted up his kitchen before we got there.
And yeah, squirrel poop everywhere.
They might have drunk a beer. Anyway.
All right, I'll pass it on if I talk to him.
Problem. All right, so what are you guys thinking here? Should we try him up on this number, other than what we have?
Couldn't hurt.
All right, let's dial up the frequency, see if we can get anything.
You don't get anything. Like, to the equivalent of a radio phone busy signal.
Like, hey, nothing. Angel, you're a technical
Actually,
guy.
Nothing, you're saying.
Yeah, nothing.
Well, so that can't be tracked.
We can't triangulate that.
Well, I mean, it sends, you know, the radio phone transmits out into the sky, and you hope that the one receiving it picks it up, and this one isn't. It's either off or broken or out of range, is right, basically right. What
we
you're
can't
getting.
Get the ping.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah, there's no way we're going to be able to track location. Where was the last tracks that you said you saw were going?
They were headed south.
South.
I guess we should head south.
I mean, they could very easily be the ones that went to the village. Except the timing isn't right. I mean, they could have gone down and looped over. But you think the tracks are a little newer than that. Out of those cages. So.
Well, I'll start heading down, looking at the tracks, see what I can find. Heading down, see how far they go.
Why don't we just take the Explorer and just drive?
That's good. But I need to be on the ground, so.
Kind of like the gods must be crazy. Guy out in front running down there.
All right.
So
yeah, I'll do it.
It's getting on towards dusk. Very slow sunset because we're on Pale. And while the day was, you know, kind of scattered clouds, there's definitely a storm moving in. From the northwest, and as it's getting dark, so the sun is actually behind the clouds at this point, so it's kind of a dimmer twilight than it would normally be. As you're out, side, you're getting ready to gear up and start going. There is, to the north, there is, you see what you initially think might just be a really bright meteorite, but then it just keeps getting brighter and brighter, and you realize it's probably a vehicle entering the atmosphere, and it's coming, you know, straight down, probably less than 100 miles north of you guys. And at first it seems to be unpowered, but then as it starts to get closer to the ground, you see an engine flare up, and it flare, and it's burning, and then it cuts out, and then it cuts back on, and it's like it's trying to fire, and then it stops, and it does that repeatedly. And you realize that it's coming down a little faster than it probably should. And then just before it goes behind, because there's mountains to the north of you, just before it goes behind the mountains where you can't see it anymore, you see the engine kick on super strong, and it's burning hard.
So that way it's trying not to crash land.
Yeah, it looks like it's trying not to crash land, but you have no
idea. It's like it's trying to get in without getting detected, guys.
No, it actually looks like it's having technical problems.
Oh, shucks. I thought it was like smoking it in real quick.
No, that isn't what it was doing. It looks like it was coming down faster than they wanted. And because it was like, it wasn't like it was like controlled on, then off. It was like sputter, sputter, sputter. And then the engine kicks on, and that's when it vanishes behind the mountains from where you're at.
Okay.
And then probably 2 or 3 minutes later, you feel a tremor.
It wasn't the softest, man.
Yeah, well, like they say, if you can walk away from it, it's landing.
So that happens as you're getting ready to go.
I say we go check it out.
Well, I guess so. Oh, we should probably radio it in, too.
We could do that while we're driving north.
All right.
Okay. So you guys head north.
Yeah.
You start to head north. And you realize that you're probably going to go back up via the where that Sathar compound was to get around this mountain that's right here and around this chain of mountains and get across. And it's probably going to take you several hours to get around.
Nice.
Around there. So you start heading off, and you radio into Streel. What do you tell him?
I'm going to tell him, well, I'm just going to say, hey, the compound that we came here, there's nobody here. It, like, all the animals are gone, and it was abandoned. There were actually animals running around inside this guy's house. We were just about to go look for him, and then we saw what appeared to be a crash of a ship to the north of us. We're going to go check it out in case there's any problems with anybody. Then we'll head back here when we're done to continue figuring out what's going on.
Did you guys receive any signals about an emergency landing from a ship?
So they say, yeah, we did. If you guys are there, get there as fast as you can. That was one of our ships. It was bringing, supposed to be transporting some stuff from Laco, up, some stuff we found on a dig down there, and, they radioed that they were having some problems, that they were, yeah, get up there, if there's, all hopefully, right. Hopefully they survived. They were under attack by something.
Oh, shoot. All right, we're on our way.
So, So they start talking to you, and they get the detailed description from you of what you saw. They said, okay, start looking. I don't know that you'll probably have to find the site, the crash site, on your own with the weather as it is. The storm coming in, it's already overcast up there. We don't have any satellite coverage to the ground. So, get up there as fast as you can and see if there are any survivors. And once you get there, secure the site until we can get another team up there.
All right, we'll radio the coordinates as soon as we get there.
Okay, sounds good.
Padding our bill.
Is there a way I could find like a shortcut through the mountains?
You could try to look for a shorter pass if you wanted to. I mean, there are passes. Whether or not they're traversable, there is snow at the higher elevations already, because it is late fall. But yeah, you can go ahead and make a roll.
Hey, what about using that map that we've? Would that help out?
No, not really. I mean, you have maps of the area between what they gave you at headquarters when you headed out.
All right, that's not bad.
And that is just a matter of, is it currently passable? I mean, you know where the ways through the mountains are. It's just a matter of, can you get the explorer through there and not get stuck? And you manage to do it. So, You make a decision. You say, okay, I don't think we can make this one. This pass is too high. It's probably going to be too choked with snow and too hard to get through. But I think this one is a little lower. And sure enough, you get up there, and
we're able to wiggle through.
You managed to take some time. You managed to get there, get through there. It's a little dicey in places, but you get through the mountains. And you get into the other side. And on the other side of the mountain is another valley. It's not gigantic, but it's probably, 50 kilometers across and about, 100 or so kilometers wide before you hit the next ridge of the mountains. And as you're coming down, it's starting to get dark. But you can definitely see out in the valley, and it's probably about 30 kilometers away from where you're at. There's some fires, and some of the little vegetation is on fire out there. That's probably where the ship went down. And whether the fires from its engines igniting stuff or from a crash or from whatever, that's where it's at.
But let's radio in that's the direction we're headed and the presumed location of the crash. Give them time.
Yeah. Time.
Cause we can divert them if it turns out different.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Tell them the direction we're headed in the words.
Hey, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
You can definitely tell you're from the west because you're like, it's not big. It's like 50 kilometer wide valley.
Anybody I know.
Just imagining the one I live in.
Yeah. Well, when I lived back in Boston, we're going up to Nashua to go shopping. Why do you drive so far?
Yeah, I know exactly. It's what, like an hour?
Yeah. I live in the Bronx. I go around the corner to the bodega to get my sugar.
I used to joke when we lived in Las Cruces, we were 3 hours from anything. It was 3 hours to the Gila. It was an hour to El Paso. It was 2 hours to Alamogordo, to the VLA. It was 4 hours to Kitt Peak. Yeah, you don't think anything about it.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting when you're like, it's a small valley, not really large.
It's a small valley. It's not like a giant plane or anything.
Not big till you get to Montana.
That's right.
All right, I guess we're heading to the wreck.
Yeah. All right. So, Angel, I want you to make another roll.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It's coming. I heard it.
All right. Ooh, ow.
All right. So as you're driving, you're coming down out of the foothills, and you come across there's a like a stream, a small river that you have to cross because of the way you came. And as you're approaching it, the far bank rises up. All right. As you're starting to head into cross the water, and you realize that that wasn't ground or vegetation, but it is it's a slither. It's a Sathar creature, and this thing makes the quick death look small.
Oh crap!
Well, what are we gonna do about this?
Run it over. That's what we do.
Can I ram it? Yeah.
You can try to ram it.
Dude, this thing is larger than the.
Is it larger than the Explorer?
Oh yeah, it's probably like 15 meters long.
It's like a centipede.
It's like a giant centipede. Yeah.
Oh wait a second. Okay, wait. I think I remember this thing. Yeah, they're big and scary. Oh, man, we're not going to be able to ram this thing. There's a gun on top. Somebody should hit that. But also, did I install those spikes in the front like I was going
to
do?
You haven't had time to do that.
Damn it!
This is where we play Jurassic Park, but we get to shoot back as it chases us.
That's what it is. I'm going to try to avoid this guy. Somebody take the gun.
All right.
Page 38 of the expanded rulebook.
Yeah, that's it. Right there in the middle. That's exactly what I'm looking at right here on my desk.
I'm just saying for anybody who's got a right there, they can take a look at it and be like, oh, crap.
Yeah. So, all right. So, is somebody going to shoot it with a machine gun?
I've got beam, but not... Who's got the right skill for that?
It was Volky. It was Volky.
Damn it. Well, do I have to roll again to try to avoid it?
Yeah, you're gonna that first roll was actually a perception roll to see if you noticed it sooner before it reared up right in front of you. Now you need to make a dex roll.
Come on, it happened.
I won't distract him anymore while he's driving.
Roll. Thanks for not distracting me.
There you go. All right. So, okay, Jill, go ahead and make the attack roll there, Doug, for your character.
Okay.
All right. So you cut loose with a thing, but T'Cheka swerves the Explorer to dodge this thing and throws your aim off, so the shots go high. Let's see if it manages to, because that was a good roll. All right, you managed to dodge away from it for that round, and it starts to lumber after you. I want you to make one more roll, T'Cheka.
All right. Get away, get away, get away.
And the verdict is...
Why do you take forever?
I don't know.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Yeah. Even better. All right.
I can't hit, but I can drive.
You got it. And you jump up, and everybody has to hang on because you go flying up the other bank. And, you know, you get some air as you hit the top of that. But it can't keep up with you. Your Explorer's way faster than that. And it missed you on its attack. So,
goody, because as I was trying to figure out how to shoot a gun, I didn't figure out where the bolt is. Where's the power button on this thing?
So you're clear of it. You can either keep going or you can circle back or whatever, but you're out of immediate danger.
Just keep going to get to our crash site.
The crash site. Yeah, that's what we're going for. The crash site.
All right. Sounds good.
I just got bit by a squirrel. I'm not gonna. I mean, if I had that much trouble with the squirrel.
I'm not going to take on a giant centipede. Half centipede.
Let's see. It does 60-10.
Yeah.
They right. eat people.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't and know. Brusque. Forget that.
All right. So
looks kind of Bruskish.
That thing's King Kong to me, like King Kong is to you guys.
Yeah. So, all right, you continue in. And yeah, as you approach the site,
somebody should mark on the map though where that creature chills at.
Yeah, you can do that. You can record where you saw it.
Yeah,
and radio that in later.
Whopper pin.
Yeah, let people know.
All right, so you get as you start to get close to the site, it's actually fairly easy for you guys to see where it is. It gets a little harder as you get down into the plains, the flatter part of the valley. But there's still a little bit of a glow because it's basically full dark at this point. And as you get closer, you see there's little brush fires here and there. But for the most part, they've died out. You see what looks like, since you're coming in from the south, it looks like the body of a spacecraft is just kind of half buried in the ground there. There's a little bit of debris on the ground, but from the direction you're coming, it came from the north east, roughly. It was mostly vertical, but it came from the northeast direction, and so if there might be debris further that direction, but from where you're at, you're kind of like at the tail end of the crash area, and you can see the body of this ship kind of buried into the ground.
Is there any way to get to a port to get so we can get the people out?
So what you see is imagine
what?
A space shuttle. An old NASA space shuttle that is missing its right wing and its vertical, its rudder, and the left wing is partially broken off. And that's what you see sticking out of the ground.
So, well, I park next to the entranceway.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna go find a door and grab med kits and go. Look for
The entrance is in. You can see the airlock. What would be the airlock door? The ship itself looks mostly intact, except its wings have been sheared off. The engine is buried in the ground, or at least mostly buried in the ground, and full of dirt at this point and shrubbery. So give me just a second to – I need to pull up my map of this. So I can describe what you guys see as you get into it. Okay. All right, so yeah, the deck is the main entrance. The airlock is on the left, on the right side of the ship, near the front. There's some windows up above. I mean, it looks very much like a space shuttle. There's some windows up on the above where the airlock would be, where the airlock is. It's just an airlock on the side of the ship. It is closed.
Is it above the ground so high that I have to, like...
No. It looks like the ship came in tail first, firing its engine, trying to slow down, and then at the last minute, and as it was coming down, it kind of went over on its side, and it just kind of plowed into the ground, tail first. And the door is actually at the far end from the engine. So,
hey, Tom?
But it's laying, basically laying on the ground. You can easily get to it, yes. What?
Oh, okay.
Can I check my toxi rad gauge?
Yep. And there is a faint trace of radiation.
Great.
Okay. All right. I think we get up there, we're banging
the
door.
It's not super strong, but it is registering.
Well, what like?
Like, not, you know, not dangerous.
Like a day's worth of exposure would be bad, but not like a few hours.
Several days worth of exposure would be bad. It's okay. It's not. There's not a lot of. It's registering, so it's above ambient, but it's.
But we
not,
can handle it for now.
You could handle. You could work where you're at as you're approaching the ship. Now it might be worse if you get back towards the engine, but near the front of the ship, you could spend weeks here and be fine.
Okay.
So we get up there. We need to bang on the door, announce ourselves as real, and you know, are you okay?
Is there a control pad at the front of the door that we could like try to hack it and open it open?
You could.
So we're gonna try that. Oh, I gotta roll.
Before we leave the Explorer,
oh, yeah.
There's got to be some tools like a you know the jack or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Can I grab some of those in case we have to lift things off people? Or
yeah, absolutely.
Oh, smart idea. Oh, and I also radio in the coordinates. So.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So let me try the control panel so we can open up this door. I don't know why this thing takes forever. Click and drag.
So while you're doing that, Eric's banging on it, and you're not getting any response.
Yeah. Well, let's, you know, see if there's anybody alive inside or conscious.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good enough to do it or not.
Actually, I think it is. So, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Good. Yeah, no.
I say, because the other way is I could blow a hole in the thing.
So it takes you a few minutes, but you get the airlock open.
Right.
And you open it up, and actually, let me go ahead and I should have done this in advance. I didn't think to.
Good lord. You've got 70s for your decks? Man.
Yeah, I got good decks.
Wow.
I'm going to load up the deck plans here. So you get in, and what you see is, so this the ship's on its basically laying on its belly, and this deck is actually oriented horizontal to the ground.
Are you supposed to be showing us a map?
Not yet. I'm okay. Describing it while I'm getting the map going.
Okay.
So, I'm just trying to make the map bigger so you can see it all. And then
excuse me.
Okay. So the deck you open up. Now let me go reveal areas. Okay, let's drag you guys over to this map. All right, so
here we go.
This is the deck you open. You came in this door on the side.
Okay.
All right. Right there. There's another pressure door down here. And then this looks like it's an elevator door, but it's sitting in the floor. And then there are these five chairs, and two of them are occupied. There are two humans sitting in this one and this one, and they look unconscious if they're alive. They're strapped in, and then their bodies are just laying there limp. That's your initial impression as you get the door open.
Well, I'm gonna go check.
Well, yeah, healer, go check docs.
But I should get in there and start checking bodies and seeing what I can triage the whole situation first.
Okay. All right. So
I'm basically checking the condition of the ship. Are there any debris? Are there any sparks that I could try to make sure nothing goes off? All right.
That's actually a pretty wise idea. Instead of just running it, you should probably be looking for.
No, there's the red up here at the top is there's like displays and stuff, and a couple of them are cracked, probably from the impact. But it's readouts and things like that. But there's not. This room's pretty empty, actually. There's just the doors. It's kind of like the whole room is an airlock, and it's also looks like it's designed for when you're in atmospheric flight. This is where most of the crew sits, but there aren't
like a flying bridge.
Yeah, yeah. There aren't controls to run the ship. There's actually a straight above. Straight above, not right there, right here, there's like a door in the ceiling, and the ceiling here is only it's only like 2 meters tall, so like Rittany can reach up and easily reach that door, and it looks like it goes up into something up above.
All right, I'm gonna fiddle with that while they're working with the people.
Actually, I take that back. That this little rectangle right here, the little light gray one, that's the where that door is on the roof. So the dark blinds are doors on the floor that look like elevator doors that might open up. Okay. And then that little rectangle is the opening in the roof above you.
Okay, so wait. The dark rectangles are
I'm gonna
a platform that goes down?
Yeah, so this stuff right here.
Uh-huh.
Is two doors that open up into the floor.
Into the floor. Okay.
Yeah. This thing right here, I just drew another rectangle on there.
Right.
That's actually a trap, basically a trap door in the ceiling. It's got like electronics. It's like a door, but it will.
So that's a door.
It
up
will
up.
Open in. Yeah, it's a door up.
So it's basically the ship is set up to be vertical and horizontal in this one little area.
Right.
Light.
Yeah, okay. This looks like a transition area. This area is designed for horizontal flight, like in an atmosphere or on landing on the ground.
Well, I'm gonna open up the thing. The door above me. See if I can. I don't know.
Alright, so you start opening that. Eric's gonna go check the two bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And Chichek is looking for damaged equipment, things that could be sparking. Jill, what are you doing?
I think I'm going to hold back outside and kind of keep watch in case something else finds this crashed ship.
Yeah, and then... Okay, sounds good. So you're watching out by the airlock door on the outside. So, Eric, you get over to the first body, the one in the middle chair there. Oh, I drew instead of clicking. So, yeah, this one. And you, as you approach them, you realize they are still breathing. they just look like they are completely unconscious. And you notice that the other one is too. Both of them are still alive. But they're pretty beat up. You can see like abrasion strap from their straps. It looked like it was a really rough landing, and they, you know, probably have whiplash or something. Who knows? But these are acceleration couches, so they were at least partially cushioned from the impact.
Okay, so you broke up in a lot in parts of that, but sounding to me like they're not totally bashed up. They're just unconscious, and if I, let's see, I'm not going to have to do anything serious to them. Maybe I just give them a stim dose to bring them around.
Yeah, that might work. I mean, they've got some, maybe a crushed rib or something from the straps, but it is an acceleration couch, so they were partially cushioned.
Okay, so I guess I'll give each of them a shot of Stimdos, and we'll see
Okay.
if that brings them around. We can talk to them and learn a thing or two, calm them a little, get them out of this ship if they need to.
Okay, so you're doing that. Chicheka's looking around. Like I said, this room is pretty bare of equipment.
Okay.
It looks just like an area where the crew sits when they're flying through the air. And then the room itself is the airlock for the ship. There's really nothing there for it looks safe.
All right, so Rennie is checking
Yeah.
the doors on the
So
ceiling. I'll
Rennie
check the
gets
elevators in the
well.
bottom.
Let's do Rennie. Well, he's standing on them, so it
Oh, okay.
wouldn't be a good idea to open them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right.
That's my
So
fault.
this is. Oh, and these squares are a meter. So this isn't. There's not a lot of room in here. The Rennie gets the door open,
Okay.
and it actually swings down. So he detaches and it kind of swings down there, and on the inside of it is basically ladder rungs. So you can like haul yourself, pull yourself up, and then climb up to the upper deck above. And as he pulls it down, he can see up into the upper level. And let me show you what you see. That would be this deck. So that number 24 there is the door. And
The
you see
hatch.
three, yeah, the hatch. You see three more chairs, all of which are occupied, all of which the people in them are unconscious or dead. Again, you can't tell from down on the deck below.
I'm gonna shout for someone to. I'm gonna try to ferry some bodies down. I'm gonna have to kind of. I'm gonna shout for someone to help me get some bodies down from here. Like, I'll lift them down and hand them
I'll
down.
help. I mean,
Okay.
I'm not doing, yeah. I'm not doing anything else. The room seems secure.
All right, so you.
Yeah. I'm not. I mean, I guess I can briefly check, but I'm more interested getting them down as quick as possible.
Okay, so you climb up there. It's pretty easy. I mean, you can with the door open, you can stand up straight and your head's like above the floor. You see that the center one is there's a human at station what's labeled 22. The one in 21 is actually a Rusk style acceleration couch, and there's a Vrusk in there, and the one in 23 has a Dralocyte. You get up there, and again, they all seem to be alive, but just unconscious. So you're able to, with a little bit of fiddling, release them from their restraints. Get them down to the lower deck. there's, you know, there's that, there's the open area there. Are you going to try to get him out of the ship completely?
I'm just not worried about it right now. I'm just handing him down.
I'm just getting, yeah, when he hands him to me, I'll just put him on where the number 20 is.
Yeah, there's enough space there that you can lay them out on the floor. All right. So Eric revives the first one and they just groan. Oh.
I'll be right back in a second.
So that looks like it's effective and it's the right kind of thing to do. So why don't you guys talk to these two guys, get them talking, and I'm going to go thim these other three guys. We got to get them thinking, get them conscious here. We don't want them going back into shock.
Okay.
Tell them who you are, ask them who they are.
Okay.
So I'll go stimdose these other guys.
All right. So you go through and you administer stimdose, and all of them are pretty beat up. I mean, they are hurt in one way or another. And you know, sore necks, sore arms, you know, whatever might have been dangling loose in the impact, got jostled around, a little bit of whiplash. But they're all okay. They're just very shooken up. And you find out that the ship. Oh, go ahead.
Euphoria to, you know, but let's talk to them. You know, you guys okay? We're Streel. You know, what's your names?
Yeah, they're wearing actually Streel uniforms. So,
okay.
And they kind of recognize you, but they're definitely very groggy. And they, so you find out that the ship is the, SSS Arrow, Streel Starship Arrow. And they were bringing, back some materials that were acquired on Lake Laco. And, when they got in system, here in Pale, in Terrain's star system, they were attacked, but they by a larger ship. But they managed to outrun that one, and that was kind of in the outer part of the system. And then just just before they got to the planet, they were attacked by something. They got hit by a laser battery.
Shot down? Out of the sky?
They were shot.
From the ground?
Not from the ground. It came from space. But they didn't see. I mean, it happened so quickly that they weren't expecting it. And there's enough ships in orbit around Pale that it could have been any number of ships. And you know, they were already on descent, and so they partially lost their engines, and they got it going, but it wasn't quite enough to stop the
Were your sensors able to pick up what kind of ship it was?
Everything was happening so fast at that point. It might be in the computers, but at that point we were already we were already in our descent phase, and it was just a matter of at that point we were going too fast to switch over to atmospheric flight, and so it was trying to get the engine re-going, the main engine re-going, and land. And obviously, we survived the landing because you guys are in here talking to us. But
how many crew on the vessel?
There's six of us.
We're missing a crew member, guys.
We're missing somebody. Yeah.
Is the cargo still on the ship?
I would assume.
Yeah, they crashed. They were unconscious. They're not going
to. Where was this person? Where was he sitting?
Oh, he was. It would have been Callan. He's our engineer. He'd have been down in engineering, which is the bottom deck.
Okay, yeah. Somebody come with me. We got to go find him.
We got to find rad suits or
environmental suits. Toxic rad gauge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right where you're at, there's actually less radiation than there was outside.
You cut out there, Tom.
Oh, where you're at now, there's actually less radiation than there was outside.
Right, but if we're going down to the engine room, that there's tons of it there. So, well, we were reading some from outside. I'm going to assume that it's going to get worse where the engines were.
Right, but the inside of the ship should be shielded a little bit from the outside, but oh, yeah.
It definitely would be because you've got a shield against cosmic radiation and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get down there.
All right, so, well, there's, okay, from up here, are there any monitors or anything that we could see on level 24?
There's no power.
There's no power, everything's dead. All right, yeah. Never mind. All right, so we got to hit either the elevator doors or that other door. That's an airlock?
It is an airlock. It's a pressure door, just like the one you came in from the outside. Because this area
probably takes us into the cargo. What's behind there, guys?
The space bridge is right through that door. Next deck down is the flying bridge for when we're out in space and not in the atmosphere. So this deck and the one up is the atmosphere decks, and then there's the space deck, the space bridge deck. Then below that is the crew deck. Is a passenger deck. It's berths. Below that's another berth deck. Then the cargo bay, and then engineering at the very back.
Which doors would take us there? The elevator doors?
You'll have to go down the elevator shaft. That pressure door only goes to the bridge deck below us, and then after that, there's just the elevator. And the elevator is just like a meter by meter. It's like a 3 foot by 3 foot. It's one person at a time. And it would be the elevators. Well, unless it moved, it's going to be down all the way down in engineering. So if you open these doors, you can crawl down the tunnel of the elevator shaft to the back of the ship if you want it.
Let's start heading
down. And of course, that assumes that it's not caved in because it's on the bottom of the ship.
Here's another question. Chronicles, he should be wearing one or something. Can we message him? Check on him that way? Is there any kind of biomonitor to see if...
So you can... He does have a chronicom, but you're not getting... you're getting a signal from it, but he's not responding if you try to call it.
Because he's probably unconscious. All right, let's go down the regular way, so that way we could be able to bring him back up. Because if we go through the underbelly and it's crushed, a Dralocyte might get through, but any other race would have a problem.
Well, the only ways to get there are to that deck is through the elevator.
Yeah, let's crawl the elevator, Jack.
You want to do that?
I'm going to head there. Who else wants to come with me?
I'll head with you.
I want to check out the ship while we're going down.
All right, I guess three of us are going in.
All right, I am going to...
Is Jill still watching guard outside?
Yeah, what do you want to do, Jill?
Transferring all these people.
She's standing right outside the airlock, I assume. So, I assume she's just like right here.
Yeah, right at the door, I'm assuming.
We could throw the chits or whatever on the maps.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just going to grab.
And while we're going through engineering, we're going to be going through the cargo, right?
Yeah.
want to take a picture of the cargo while we're going down there so that way we could show it to them, see if everything's okay.
All right, so, well, all right, so this is, let me make this available. So here's a cross-section of the ship.
Oh, okay.
Cool. You guys are here on the mid-deck right now.
Gotcha.
All right, so this is the mid-deck. There is the cargo bay down here. You can get in that way. There's cargo bay doors towards where the what would be the rudder if it was flying like an airplane. And those actually open up and fold down along that rudder to form a ramp.
Okay.
There is an external exit into the ship there. This gray, that's the elevator shaft that runs along the base of the ship.
All the way down. Okay.
Yeah. And so there's what you've got. And this is that pressure door at the back of the ship. That one is the same as that one.
Okay.
Great.
All right. So you can pull the doors open to the elevator shaft.
When we look in, where's the elevator? Or is the elevator there?
It's not right here. No, it's actually back at the you shine a flashlight down there and you see it's all the way back at the back of the ship.
Okay, good.
And for scale, this ship is 3, 2, 4, 6. I think it's like 30 meters long. So tip to tail is about 30 meters on that.
What, hull size 2?
Yeah, it's a hull size 2 ship.
It's not too far to go. Let's do it.
It's not.
All right. I mean, so we crawl down and just walk.
Yeah, so.
We just walk here.
Well, you're not going to walk. It's only a meter
high.
Because
it's on the belly.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I just say that Moton forms into a ball and we bowl him down.
I think I could walk there faster than forming into a ball.
Yeah, I think you could too. I was going to draw something. What was I going to draw? Oh, yeah. So I don't know.
So that's going to be cramped for me, isn't it?
It's going to be cramped for everybody, except for maybe the Drowlocytes won't be too bad. And I guess crawling long ways, the humans and the Azirians won't be too bad. Yeah, it'll be worse for you.
Yeah, that's going to be.
So the elevator, the car of the elevator is right here, where I just drew the red box.
Okay. Which is actually where I would
want. And as you go by each of the decks, there is an opening. I mean, there's the doors. They're up at the top. If you wanted to, you could, pull them open and climb out into those decks if you wanted to. But there's no power. There's no light down there. Obviously, whatever happened in the crash popped all the circuits. And there's no power, so it's all brute force to manually force the doors open and things like that if you want to. And it's dark, so because there are no portholes.
Okay. The only elevator door I wanted to open was the cargo bay, but is there a way to open it just a little bit? Because if the cargo fell, it's going to be pressing against the elevator doors.
Well,
yeah, and I don't want to open it up and then get crushed.
Well, and the cargo doors were closed on the outside, right?
Yes, they were.
So we can check this afterwards. Find the guy.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll save that for it. I don't want to open up the cargo.
But if their special cargo happened to eat things, I don't want to.
You don't want to be open.
But they were transporting something, from another planet. I don't know what it was.
Right, but
and they didn't tell us.
So far, the story has been about things that eat things.
We all remember the sample adventure.
Yeah, you got a point there. To engineering.
All right, so you crawl down, and as you get towards the back, there's definitely some damage to the shaft. You realize that the elevator is not coming back up this. And because it's right about let me get something to draw with. So right about the point where you get to the cargo bay, so right about here, that's where the ship is really under the ground, and right. It's definitely caved in. So you realize they had to have hit actually pretty hard to cave in the whole material of the ship, or they hit something.
So we have to
climb the top of the mountain.
Yeah, you have to call it. It's not a lot. I mean, it's not like it's maybe a couple, 3 centimeters is all. But it's definitely the whole of the ship is caved in there.
Right, that's still the elevator would not come up.
Right. So the it's enough that it's not an impediment for you to get by crawling, but the elevator's not going to travel up this shaft until that gets fixed.
So I'm guessing there's a hatch in the top of the elevator?
There is.
Okay.
There is one in the top of the elevator.
Pop that open and try to climb down into the elevator.
All right. So, since Rennie's been watching, as you get closer to the back, your toxic rad gauge starts to get a little higher again. And about the time you're at the cargo bay, it's about the same as it was when you were outside. And as you get to the elevator, it's a little bit higher. It's still not super dangerous. You're still probably going to be fine to be in here for a while.
Optimum word is probably.
yeah. But, oops, that's not what I meant to do.
Hey, you know what? I know a world where the Dazites paint their skin different colors. I could glow. Now,
going neon.
Can we get this hatch open, or is it going to be a forceful?
No. You. Oops. That is not what I meant to do.
Well, the emergency hatches are usually easy to open. They're made to get out in case of
emergency. In emergency. Yeah.
Yeah. No. You can easily pop the hatch. It opens up. That's not going to be a problem. I'm just trying to accidentally drew something on here I didn't mean to draw, but that's okay. So, you're in this little elevator hatch here, and you pop it open. You get into the elevator car itself, and you get the door open to the room, to the deck, and you guys are down in one, looking up, so this is now not horizontal, and dangling out of chair 16 is a Yazarian.
Sorry, what
is it? What?
Oh, sorry, you guys can't see the numbers.
No, you cut out them.
Yeah, so dangling out of that chair is a Yazarian.
Oh, we gotta save him. Well, I'm
okay. Yeah, let's get in there and check him out.
All right, so you guys can get in. It's standing on this back wall back here. You've got 2.5 meters of clearance before you hit the computer banks up there. So you got to kind of duck underneath the chairs because they're mounted on the floor on the what would be the wall, the back wall for you guys. At this point, you know that right behind here is the engine. And your toxic rad gauges are now reading a significant dosage level. It's not dangerous, but it is definitely heightened. There's obviously a crack somewhere where the radiation is leaking out from the atomic fuel of the engines. Yeah, that blue line. Yeah, that blue line is the thing I drew that I didn't mean to draw. and I can't figure out how to select it and delete it. So,
okay. Is this dude alive?
He is. But he looks, of all of them, he looks the most banged up.
I should hit the med scanner on him before I make him conscious.
You probably want to.
Before we remove him. Okay.
Okay, you should probably check out what's
going on. Is there anything that I could shut down? Yeah, that's what I was going to do. Is there any way I could shut down the radiation or anything?
No, there's nothing you can do about the radiation. But the station here where he's sitting at, there are some blinking lights on there.
So we have power.
You go ahead and make a roll. Give me a technician roll.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what you found out in a minute, Eric. Okay. That's okay. There's a blinking light. There's a couple blinking lights, and you realize that they're probably, because they're not like right in the center of the panel, they're kind of up in the upper left, no, upper right. So they're kind of like out of the way where you wouldn't be using them during normal operations. But they're labeled, and you realize that there's three lights, and they're each above a push switch that are, it says C1, C2, and C3. And you think if you push them, they may be the circuit breakers, or the presets for the circuit breakers.
Yeah.
Because they're somewhere where you can reach them if you had to, but they're not something you're gonna be
interacting
with
normal
on a regular basis. Yeah.
All right. So and it's three buttons: Control, Alt, Delete.
Yeah, something like that.
How many lights did you say?
Three.
Three.
There are four lights. I don't know if anybody got that reference.
Yeah, don't get that one. Sorry.
No,
The Star Trek episode where he's
I don't know.
2001.
Which is referencing 1984.
Very good. Wow.
All right.
Nerd cred.
Well, I'm going to hit him. Reset.
Okay.
Hopefully it'll bring stuff back.
All right, so you're going to push those. So Eric got out his med scanner and was checking this guy out. Yeah. And he's alive. He's breathing. He's got a broken leg.
Ow.
And probably a couple broken ribs. And there might be some internal bleeding in that. So you don't want him to like suddenly move if you wake him up. So that's what you figure out. Shane, what's Rennie doing?
Well, this is not my forte for my guy.
Yeah, I don't have like a freeze field or anything like that to.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put my hand to the doors here.
Okay.
And just kind of, you know how like you check for fire?
Right.
Heat it up. I'm going to do that.
Okay, so you're doing that. You don't detect anything.
Okay. I'm just trying to make sure. I'm going to keep out of the way.
Yeah.
Anything we can tie to this guy's leg here?
Not in this area right here. There might be something through those doors, but nothing handy where you're at.
Well, I'm not up in the cargo bay.
Well, you could go back to the cargo bay and look.
Well, somebody could, yeah. We do need to get him out of here.
Well, let me check in here first. I'll open up this door if I can.
Okay, that one. All right. So you open that one, and it is
aliens.
No, it's just a storage room. So everything is jumbled up. But if you're looking for something for a splint, you can probably find something in there. There's tech pieces and bits of just metal. There's some piping.
Get the duct tape. Let's just tape this to him. it's gonna suck sores to pull the duct tape off of a Yuzurian's fur, but
just I'll get a piece of couple pieces of metal and some ion bonding.
Okay. Yeah, you can definitely find that.
That'll there. Pull the hair out for sure.
So
I'll do that.
All right, so you get that, and you start splitting them up. All right, Jajeka, you push the first button, and it goes click, and the light turns from red to green.
Good. Green is good.
But beyond that, nothing happens in the room you're in. You push the second one, and the whole console lights up. Again, it goes red to green. And the screens, the display, it looks like it's going through some sort of a boot sequence. The computers are coming back online. As you press the third one, it also goes green, and you assume it turned on power somewhere else in the ship. And at that point, the intercom panel crackles to life and says, "Hey, we've got power back up here."
Good.
How's Colin?
Colin might be missing his colon.
Ooh. Is he okay? Is he alive?
We're going to pull him up there. When I med scan this guy, do I need to give him a statos to?
No, you don't. He's positive hit points, so he's just unconscious from the impact still.
I don't want to make him conscious till we get through dragging him up this mess.
Maybe it might be better to make him conscious now so he can tell us if there's anything wrong with the ship. Like, that we should know about. I mean, I know we've got all the power on and all that, but there's a leak and...
Safety of the patient, safety of us. I don't know anything about ship stuff.
suffering from a sentient being, though.
We're going to put him through some pain and everything when we do this. A lot easier to...
While he's unconscious, I think it'd be better to take him up unconscious.
All right, let's do that then.
Is there any way we could use like a cable to wrap it around him? Because, I mean, we're not going to be able to carry him while crawling, especially during that.
I'm going to clear that out. So that's the control area there.
Yeah, you did make a big long line across the...
Yeah, I accidentally had drawing when I was trying to do something else, and I can't figure out how to click on it to select it.
Is there an eraser you can just erase over it?
You probably erase.
Yeah, I was wondering if we can get some rope and we'll
yeah, there's also
around him and haul him up by his.
Yeah, you're able to do that. You actually can get in that closet that Rennie opened. There's some it's called Plastiseal, but it's designed to replace the hull in the case of a hull breach. It's a little packet, and you can expand it out and like make like a litter type sled thing that you can lay him on and drag him through the.
Okay. As a mechanic, they usually have little doorways that lead outside for outside techs to work on the engines and stuff like that. Are there any doors here
that I can get them out without
dragging them through
not,
the entire
not, No, this ship, the engine is only accessed from outside.
From so where? I'm sorry.
From outside, because there's a lot of shielding, because the atomic... Normally, the atomic engines are on struts away from the ship. And so this ship has... So this area down here is like... layers and layers of plating and radiation shielding to keep the engine shielded, the ship shielded from the engine. So there's no actual access to the engine from inside this ship. You have to go outside to get to it.
Can't get that from here.
And there's no emergency door outside to get outside from here, though?
Nope, there's not. Just up the elevator shaft.
Man, the FAA just doesn't exist in the frontier, does it?
Nope.
OSHA would be shutting this down.
Okay. Yeah, let's haul him up to the top and then shoot. Then I guess I'll wake him up and see what he says and talk with these other people. And while I'm tending to him and talking to them, if you guys want to snoop the cargo bay, that's fine.
Well, actually, I was going to ask, is there any data in what cargo were they loving?
Well, that may not be privy to us, but we should ask because we're curious people.
That's right. All right, so...
Well, just to know if it's any living
as,
thing.
As Rini and Domalton are taking Colin out, Checheka is checking out the readouts here on this display panel. So I want you to make a roll, Angel.
Sorry about that.
No problem. Okay. So, while you don't have a starship engineering skill, you are able to tell after the system fully boots back up and all the gauges come back online, you're drawing power from the engine. It's still generating power as a power plant. In addition, you know, it's not firing, but and the radiation gauge is not on zero for the room. And in fact, there's a stack of them, and it just says radiation along the side of them, so it's pretty easy to figure out what they are. And you can see that the highest level is the one you're in, and then it rapidly decreases as you get up towards the top of the ship. So okay. It looks like the engineering deck is the one that you're in is the only one that's really seriously exposed, and even that's not too bad. So the shielding is pretty much holding. There's obviously some cracks somewhere, and beyond that, there's there's all kinds of warnings about no data from skin sensors on the wings and on the rudder. But you saw the status of the ship as you crawled in, so you're not surprised at all about that. The cargo bay doors are registered as locked and secured. The main airlock is open. But you came in through the main airlock, so that doesn't surprise you either. But beyond that, you're not getting much. There's no obvious hull integrity issues that you can see other than the missing wings. But the engines, and there are what are warnings relative to the engine status. But you don't exactly understand what they mean. Yeah.
So from what we saw, the engines are shot.
And you landed, and they landed on it hard.
Yeah.
So, so there's nothing there that surprises you.
Okay. And there's no life signs though, besides the crew and us.
No, there's no sensors for that in that console. Oh, anyway. Okay. So,
the xenomorph could still be in the cargo hallway. Or no, this is a thing.
Well, I guess we should just evacuate everybody, and then if we want to go look for that stuff.
Yeah, we could ask the crew. They should know what's inside. Let's just get out of here. Let's save this guy.
All right.
I'm going to give him a Stimdose when we get him up there.
All right, so you get back up.
So whoever's the strongest is the one that's going to be leading the way, dragging him.
That's not me.
That's not me.
It's probably Eric. So
couldn't he be good at pulling? Because all he'd have to do is kind of like stretch himself out, and then
I got a pretty decent strength. I can pull him up.
Yeah, you don't have any problem getting him up. It's a little awkward because it's just such a confined space. But you're basically crawling through a 3-foot by 3-foot square tube. And you get him out there, and you get back up to the mid-deck, and the ship's crew is looking a little more alert and awake at this point. You see that the panel here on this wall is now alive and has power to it, and a couple of them are looking at that to see what they can determine. But as soon as they hear you guys coming up the elevator, they rush over and help you get him out. And one of the guys, you know, in fact, it's the Vrusk, comes down and starts checking him out. And you realize that he probably has some medical skill by the way he's okay, looking so he's looking at him. A couple of them are actually outside now on the ground, looking around, looking at the outside of the ship. But for the most part, they're just kind of still in a daze.
Yep, they're not getting promoted.
Ask them, do you guys have a vehicle inside the ship that you can follow us? Because you're not all going to fit in the Explorer.
No, the cargo is full of shipping crates. No, we don't have a vehicle on this trip.
They're probably sending an air car or something to come pick these guys up.
One would hope.
Well, with the storm coming, they might not.
Does their sensors or anything say if, you know, what's radar or whatever say is happening?
What do you mean, happening how?
Is any clue that the Streel guys are on their way?
Not yet. You don't have anything.
Maybe anybody else?
Well, I'm going to volunteer to ride on the roof so that the survivors can ride in comfort.
You're going to be 10 people in a 6-person vehicle.
Yeah,
that's not going to work. So,
how far away is the storm?
It's actually starting to rain outside. The people outside start heading back into the ship.
You might be better off staying in the ship until the storm passes over.
The ship or the Explorer, either one.
Well, we can't all fit in the Explorer.
No, but some could stay in the Explorer. Because I do like, whoever shot these guys down
might be coming for them.
They got.
Yeah.
And so the Explorer's got a gun.
Yep. Suddenly I feel justified hanging outside all that time.
Well, why don't someone man the gun, get the people into the Explorer, and then we'll take a look around on the ship. See what we can find and salvage.
Sounds like a plan.
Well, this cargo's worth something. It probably can't move it per se.
Well, yeah, they did specifically mention the cargo.
And they said there's a bunch of crates.
So it's almost like we are now protectors of this until the Streel guys show up to pick it up.
All right.
Ask them. I'm going to ask them if there's any armaments on the ship, like weaponry.
Good thought.
We have our personal effects, but no, not beyond that. I mean, everyone has either an electro stunner or a laser pistol.
Well, you probably are going to. We may need it if whoever shot you down comes looking for you before Real gets them. It's probably time to talk to Streel again and tell him we've got the crew's alive, but we do need medical attention.
Okay.
And a tech team.
And all right.
Go ahead, Jill.
What about radiation? Is that still a concern?
Well, if you stay out of the engineering deck, everyone should be fine. It's the front part of the ship where that's like horizontal for the way the ship's laying is actually, there's no radiation worries at all. And if you probably were to drive the Explorer out to that end of the ship, you wouldn't have any worries there either. It's only really back by the engine, and it's low enough that there's not a lot.
It's a slight leak.
Yeah, it's like there's probably a hairline crack in the containment system.
So, is there does the crew show any concern with us contacting Streel?
No, not at all.
Okay, because I mean.
Well, I would tell the crew to go to the crew area, and start picking up their equipment. Get their weapons. Get their stuff, just in case.
Yeah, we can go get their stuff for them.
They can get it themselves.
To get in and get their stuff themselves. Do they have enough?
They can probably do mobility. I mean, they're pretty banged up, but they're definitely able to get around.
Okay,
except for Colin.
Yeah,
except for him. He's out.
After I gave him a stim dose, out.
He's awake, but he's not moving anywhere.
Yeah, his leg was busted.
Broken ribs. He doesn't want to go anywhere.
Yeah, I'll put him in the Explorer.
Okay.
Is the ship in the low ground? Is there higher ground around the ship? Maybe we can move the Explorer to
It's pretty flat. There's you could probably get a few feet of elevation relative to the ship if you moved a little bit away with the Explorer.
But I was thinking maybe move the Explorer a couple hundred yards away or something, just so make it a little harder. You know, we're not all in one area in case somebody attacks.
Yeah, you could do that if you wanted to.
Oh, okay, so if they come and blow up the shuttle, we're safe in the Explorer. That sounds cool.
Yeah, well, they didn't blow up the ship before. They shot it down, so it makes me... They want the cargo. So actually being on the ship might keep you alive until the guys with the guns show up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Move the Explorer to some place. I don't know if we could hide it, but...
Well, but then it's away from the ship, and it's something that's just waiting.
Yeah, we want to keep the gun next to the shuttle. So that
I'm saying, if we move it farther away from the ship, the gun will be able to cover more of the ship.
It could in that sense, but if they want to, you know, shoot it with a missile from 50 miles out, you're protected by being next to the ship. And then when they show up, yeah, you do want to be away from the ship.
You debate that. I'm going to put Carl or Cripple Guy.
Yeah.
Inside the store. Inside the store.
It's Colin, Kolan.
Oh, Colin.
Yeah, well, calling a Yazirian a cripple is probably not too...
He is a cripple. What's he going to do about it?
Stop making fun of Hopalong.
They keep lists of names, you know?
So you get him carefully moved over to the Explorer and get him situated.
Let's trap him down, just in case.
And as you're coming back into the ship, the human who was up in the center chair, up on the upper deck, which you realize is the flying bridge for the ship when it's in the atmosphere, and that's the ship's captain, and he calls down, well. I hear you guys saying you got a gun on the Explorer. What do you got?
We have a machine gun.
Okay. Well, it turns out our laser is still working, so we've got effectively a heavy laser on the nose of the ship. If you're expecting trouble, I can man that from up here. Yeah, it's a mini laser battery is what it is. It's I can't think of what the P stands for. It's the little mini. Yeah, the pod laser. It's a pod laser turret.
The laser piston.
Yeah, the piston laser, whatever it's called. I don't remember, from the Dragon magazine. But that's what it is. In the atmosphere, it acts like a heavy laser, but with double the range.
Okay.
So you have that as well.
All right, so you can defend the front.
Hey, yep. Just have somebody watching to see who's coming in, because unless it's Streel, hit her hostile.
Yeah. So he's all man that up from up here, and you see him slide over. Actually, no, that the center. Yeah. So he sits down in that chair. That's actually the gunner chair. The pilot station is this one over here. So he sits down there and he's got a display screen, and it's got a camera on it, and he's just got it sweeping around.
I'm good. Okay, so the sensors are working.
He can start walking. He can start watching for that.
We should have some radar going as
well.
Yeah,
the radar is on, but and they've got it dialed down as low power as they can. But it's a space radar, so it's designed to cover hundreds of thousands of kilometers.
You guys were worried about
worried about radiation from the engine.
Turn the radar on and it'll cook you like a microwave.
Yeah. So plus the dishes, the transmitters are a little banged up, but from the landing. But he's got that on too, but dialed way down, way low. So he'll have if something comes flying in, he'll notice.
Right, good.
So we got
makes
that going.
Navy radar look like a wimpy thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. As all this is going on, the rain is picking up and intensifying, and there's lightning going on outside, starting to pick up, and you're hearing thunderclaps.
Is the ship the tallest thing in the environment?
Pretty much.
Uh-oh.
Oh, thank you. shut the door. It should take the jolt, but
there are a few trees around, but there's nothing really close to where you're at.
It's struck by lightning.
In the nearest couple hundred meters, yeah. The hull of the ship is the highest elevation point.
Yeah, and the hull of the ship should take this. I mean,
oh yeah. The whole ship can easily take an electric strike without any
issue. Compared to what you're going to get discharging sometimes in space, but oh boy, yeah, okay.
But you don't want to be hanging around the outside when
shut the door.
You don't want to be walking on the roof when it happens.
No, that'd be bad.
All right, so who's going to be in the Explorer?
I'm going to be in my baby.
Okay, you're going to be in the Explorer. The injured Jazirian is going to be in the Explorer.
Probably the other Russ, the doc, is going to be with us.
He'll go with you. I heard some of the... Was that Shane saying he was going to go? Or was that Doug? Or was it both of you?
I'll go.
The ship doctors with Colin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll stay on the shuttle then.
Okay.
So, anybody else from my crew going to be in the Explorer?
I am.
I guess two of us. So we'll just leave the unessential people back in the ship.
Oh!
Wow.
Okay, so we got two on the shuttle and two in the Explorer.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
Okay.
All right. So are you guys going to try to get into the cargo bay at all?
Well, not while the storm is going.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
so
I don't want to. Yeah.
The crew go back into their cabins, and they each come out with either an electro stunner or a laser pistol. And a couple of clips each. So they're each armed. And you guys try to contact Streel, but the interference from the lightning, and that make it, I mean, you get a message through, but it's really garbled, so you're not sure how much they actually got, and it's really hard for you to understand them. As you, so you kind of hunker down.
And I keep an eye on the sensors, though, to make sure that big creature thing doesn't try to pop up and surprise us. He scared me.
Yeah. So you're watching out for the slither, and
I'll man the guns just in case.
Right. Well, you're probably not going to, you'll probably be by the hatch, because if you open the hatch, you're going to get drenched, because it's starting to rain pretty good. But you're ready to go out there if you have
to. Yeah, if I see movement, I'll let you know.
Yeah. So the first couple hours, it's just incessant rain, a lot of lightning, the crew is sleeping pretty much at this point, because they're just worn out and exhausted. And probably about 4 hours after you got there, so it's, you know, close to what would be midnight of the sleep cycle, an alarm goes off on the bridge of the ship, and the guy up there perks up and he's looking at it, and he goes, "Well, we've got someone on the way," and he points at his screen, and it's really hard. There's a lot of noise because it's obviously getting returned from the ground as well. But about 8 or 9 kilometers away, there are three objects moving towards you, and they're on the ground. They're not flying, If you had to guess, you'd probably guess they were explorers, but they are headed towards the ship, and that's where we'll stop for the night.
All right.
Okay. Just to confirm, though, he sees that because the ship's sensors are way further. Radar, I don't pick that up in the explorer.
Yeah, no, right? The radar. It's okay. The radar from the ship picking that up, and it's okay. It's there's a lot of clutter in the display there because he's basically looking right across the ground, but there's three sources and they've been slowly getting closer, and he finally decided that really was a real signal, and he points it out to you, and you stare at it, those that are in the ship stare at it for a while, and it just looks like noise, but then you notice these three things that are slowly just moving closer on the display. And so, yeah, there's three something inbound on the ground.
All right.
So that's where we'll pick up next time.
Hey, Tom?
Yeah?
Is it possible to, for next time, to have a map of the area?
Yeah, I'll draw something up.
Like the planet map, because I kept getting confused on where things were, locations.
I got to make a planet map for Pale. All
right. That's the only thing.
It might be one of the star frontiers, man. Good luck searching for them.
Well, no, I've got... There actually is. Pale's one of the ones that people have done write-ups for, but I have one too, so I just need to turn it into a map that I can show you guys. So
I'm glad everything worked out for you, Angel.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm glad I was able to make it in time to play. I wanted to play.
We were glad because it meant you didn't have surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of glad about that, too.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot, guys. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, get some sleep.
And I had fun, Tom. Thanks.
All right, good.
All righty.
Yep.
Night, guys.
All right, have a good night.
See you next time.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.